أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى فترضى. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك
blood for you, and in great his blessed feet. Invite him to a walk in all conditions, enduring the scorching heat. Stones and insults thrown at him, yet he raised his hands up high. He forgave them all so lovingly as the angel stood nearby. Stones and insults thrown at him, yet he raised his hands up high. He forgave them all so lovingly as the angel stood nearby. Do you remember him standing in the night and begging his loving Lord? Tranquility, hope and light in his majestic heart was poured. Do you remember him standing in the night and begging his loving Lord? Tranquility, hope and light in his majestic heart was poured. His beard was soaked in tears and his frustration seemed long. For the sake of the Ummah, imploring Allah to forgive you of all your wrongs. His beard was soaked in tears and his frustration seemed long. For the sake of the Ummah, imploring Allah to forgive you of all your wrong. Do you remember the time of the rocks around his blessed waist? Days and weeks would pass by, yet only dates and water he would taste. Do you remember the time of the rocks around his blessed waist? Days and weeks would pass by, yet only dates and water he would taste. He would pray for blessings in the food and lend to the needy hand. He did this only so you could live comfortably in any land. He would pray for blessings in the food and lend to the needy hand. He did this only so you could live comfortably in any land. Do you remember him constantly smiling and showering all with hope? The men and the women, innocent children, finally did learn how to cope. He rescued the world from oppression and gave society equal rights. He did this only to help you so there'd be no more quarrels and fights. He rescued the world from oppression and gave society equal rights. He did this only to help you so there'd be no more quarrels and fights. Do you remember when he ascended to the heavenly abode above? After conversing with his beloved, a meeting brimmed with love. Do you remember when he ascended to the heavenly abode above? After conversing with his beloved, a meeting brimmed with love. A communal no other lovers ever had or experienced before. He returned with a gift for you of hope to reach the true king's door. A communal no other lovers ever had or experienced الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم امكثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى فلما أتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع نعليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الله سبحانه وتعالى beginning is because they understand better what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from them. Without ilm, a person will not know what Allah requires from him. It is through ilm a person realizes what Allah requires from him. It is through ilm a person realizes that this is permissible. So if I do this, or if I say this, or if I eat this, Allah will not become unhappy. It is through ilm a person realizes that this is impermissible. So if I say this, if I do this, if I eat this, Allah will become unhappy with me. It is through ilm a person realizes that this is fard, compulsory, this is wajib, obligatory, this is mustahab, desirable, this is nafl, optional, this is haram, prohibited. So without ilm, a person will not be able to live his life according to the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm is very essential. And if ilm is very essential, then those people who acquire ilm, they are also very precious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama have stated that lawla al-ulama lakana an-nasu kal-bahaim. If ulama did not exist, people would be like animals. They would behave like animals. Because they would not be able to differentiate right from wrong. They would not be able to differentiate halal from haram, permissible from impermissible, good from bad. So each and every one of you who is sitting here, you should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting you the tawfiq to take out daily a couple of hours for the acquisition of ilm. I have said this to you before also, and I am saying it again, that we should not feel acquiring ilm a burden. We should not feel that going to madrasa is a burden. Learning lessons is a burden. Doing homework is a burden. Staying in the madrasa for 1 hour, 2 hours is a burden. Assembly is a burden. No, it is only through these gatherings and these classes and these lessons we learn how to please our Creator, how to make our Creator happy. If we did not go to madrasa, we would not know how to perform wudu. We would not know how to perform salah. If we did not go to madrasa, we would not know what to do if we had made a mistake and if we had displeased our Creator. You would not have known. Tawbah is so far, such a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh my servants, if you make mistakes, don't despair. Try your utmost not to make a mistake. Always stay away from sinful activity. Always stay away from prohibited things. Always carry out the compulsory things. try your utmost not to make a mistake, not to commit a sin. But if you overcome by nafs and shaitan, commit a mistake. If you commit a sin, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regret, with a firm resolution, not to return to that sin again, repent and say to Allah that, oh Allah, forgive me. And Allah will forgive me. This we have learned in the madrasa. We sit respectfully, and as a result, we make place in the hearts of the people. We behave respectfully with our parents, we behave respectfully with our elders. We treat our young ones with kindness, morals, manners, characters. As a result of this good behavior of ours, people begin to love us, people begin to respect us. People praise us. He is a very nice boy. He is a very respectful boy. He is not arrogant, he is not haughty. Where do we learn all these manners from? Where do we learn all these characteristics from? From the madrasa. So deen is beautiful because it was shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a way of life. And anyone who adorns himself with deen, he will also become beautiful. We learn all these good things in the madrasa. And during our life, what we have learned in the madrasa will echo in our ears, in our mind, in our hearts. We will come across so many situations where we will not know what to do. And that is the time when what we are learning now will come handy. Grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting you the opportunity to daily come to madrasa for a few hours and learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And continue coming for as long as you are able. We all have our lives to live. So as we grow older, the responsibilities change. We cannot continue coming to the madrasa for the rest of our lives. But try to attend madrasa for as long as possible. Because the amount of knowledge you are able to acquire through madrasa, you will not be able to acquire on your own. Because we are in a set system, we have a set syllabus to follow. Throughout the last 12 months, the amount of work that we have done as a result of attending the madrasa, if you had left the madrasa last year, and if you had said to yourself that I can read English, I have a basic understanding of deen now, so I will read books myself, you would not have covered that much that you have covered in the last 12 months. And maybe, without the supervision of your teachers, you may have read the wrong thing on your own. You may have picked up the wrong book. So madrasa is a great blessing. Madrasa makes a person a good human being. Madrasa makes a person a good citizen of the country. Madrasa teaches you not to cheat. Madrasa teaches you not to oppress. Madrasa teaches you not to steal. Not to loot anybody. Madrasa teaches you not to harm anybody. Madrasa teaches you not to violate anybody's right. So you become a good citizen, you become a good human being, you become a good citizen, you become a good individual of the community, you become a good member of the family. Those people who become, those Muslims who become headache for the family, for the parents, who become headache for the community they live in, or who become headache for the authorities, the police, etc. They are those who have acquired iron but who are not practicing their iron. Iron will always make you a good individual of the community, a respectable individual of the community. So try your utmost to continue coming to the madrasa for as long as possible, number one. Number two, when you do have to leave because of your circumstances, then continue frequenting the majalis of the ulama, the durus that take place in the masajid are for those people who have left madrasa, mainly for those people who have left madrasa. So they will come once a week, twice a week, sit in the company of the ulama, listen to the ulama, their ilm will increase. And also, under the supervision of those ulama that you are familiar with, your teachers, your local imam, under his supervision, buy books and read books. So ilm should increase and continue to increase until we breathe our last. The Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose company is good for us? We hear over and over again that always stay in good company and stay away from bad company. So with whom should we sit? How can we recognize good company from bad? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you sit in somebody's company and if you return with three things, that is a sign that it's a good company. Number one, you learn something new. You learn something new. The first thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned is ilm. That you should try to sit in the company of that person whose company teaches you something new. You should sit in the company of that person whose company increases your ilm. So you learn something new, number one. Number two, this person's company brings the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart and mind. So you begin to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, as a result of his company, you experience the concern for the hereafter. If you find somebody in whose company your ilm increases, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acquired, and the concern for the hereafter is acquired. That is good company for you. So we should continue to sit in the company of the ulama and continue to learn until you read our last. And ilm is only beneficial if it is practiced. So be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great name of ilm by practicing upon that ilm. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I will increase. So if I give you something and if you are grateful to me, I will give you more. When a person acquires ilm, so Allah has given him a name of ilm. Ilm is also named as a blessing. And when a person is grateful to Allah, not verbally only, but by actually practicing, then when he practices what he has acquired, he is being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you more ilm. So ilm will increase, amal will increase, ilm will increase, amal will increase, ilm will increase, amal will increase. Imagine the status of this person in this world, in the eyes of the public, and also his status on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah. So remember, talabi ilm, seeking ilm, talibul ilm, the seeker of ilm. And the person who has acquired ilm, the alim, they are very high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So try to remain a talibul ilm, the seeker of ilm, until you breathe your last. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala was once asked, until when will you continue to seek ilm? He was a very great imam. He was the sheikh of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is his grandchild in the chain of ilm. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala. Very great scholar. Until when will you acquire ilm? He said, "Ilal mamat, until I die." Until I die. He did not feel that I am a very big imam now. When he passed away, the ulama of the time said that when Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala passed away, there was not a single alim, not a common person, there was not a single alim on the surface of this earth who was not in need of him. This is how great he was. Despite that, he continued. And with ilm, what was his amal? What was his amal like? He borrowed a pen from somebody. And the pen in the time was made of a twig. They would just sharpen it with the knife and dip it in the ink and write with that. Homemade pen, self-made pen. So he borrowed it from somebody. Very cheap item, even in those days, very cheap. So he borrowed it from somebody. And after completing what he wanted to write, he forgot that it belonged to somebody and he put it in his pocket or in his bag. Or he remembered that it belonged to so and so and I will return it later. However, when he travelled from that place, because in those days the muhaddithin, they would spend a few months here and then they would travel thousands of miles and spend a few days there, a few months there, travel thousands of miles and spend a few months there, meeting different asatidah, various teachers and seeking ilm from them. So he forgot to return that pen and he travelled hundreds of miles. From one place he travelled to another place. And when he reached his second place, and whilst going through his bag, he came across that pen and he remembered that this pen does not belong to me, it belongs to somebody else. Very cheap item, cheap commodity. What did he do? He travelled again only to return that pen. So after many centuries we are remembering Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala here at the Islamic Dawah Academy in the UK in Leicester, where he has no relatives, no family, nothing. We are remembering him not to show to anybody, it is sincere remembrance. We sincerely love him, we sincerely revere him. Why? Because he did both things. Acquire ilm and also practice. However difficult it was, if it was the command of Allah, he did it. So his ilm compelled him to return and travel 800, 900, 1000, 2000 miles just to return that pen. So he reached his destination, he returned to return the pen, and after returning the pen, he returned again to his destination where he was to acquire ilm. If these great personalities could give so much sacrifice, do not give little bit of sacrifice to this. That are expected from us. So my dear students of Madrasari Al-Quran, remain firm. We will continue to acquire each inshallah until we breathe our last. And we will try our utmost to practice. We are all humans, we make mistakes. But the resolution to practice should be there. And after resolution we should practice, and where we fail, we turn to Allah and we say, "Oh Allah, help me. Why am I weak? Why am I weak? Oh Allah, make me strong." And where we feel that we need guidance from somebody, we should turn to Mashayikh and Ulama, that we have confidence in, that we trust. And ask them to help us, guide us. Because they are aware of this path, the difficulties of this path. They have more experience than we have. And inshallah, if we do this, we will all find ourselves in Jannat al-Firdaus together, just as we have gathered here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us seekers of ilm until we bring our last. And may Allah resurrect us amongst the seekers of ilm and the ulama on the day of Qiyamah. And may Allah unite all of us under His throne on the day of Qiyamah. May we have an easy reckoning, and may we cross the sirat with the speed of lightning, and may we meet each other again with all our dear ones and near ones in Jannat al-Firdaus, in the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. The moments and the days we are passing through are very, very blessed. Today is the 8th of Zulhijjah, tomorrow is 9th of Zulhijjah, and the day after is 10th of Zulhijjah, the day of Eid al-Adha. From amongst these 10 days, tomorrow is the cream. So let us value these auspicious moments, auspicious days. And the way to value them is that number one, we don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, we don't engage in futile activities that brings no profit in this world or the hereafter. And number three, we try our utmost to carry out as much good as possible. Try to take the leaflet, the 10 days of Zulhijjah from the Islamic Dawah Academy, and give it to your family. Sit down as a family and read through it and try to value the remaining moments as much as possible. Try to spend as much time as possible tomorrow in the masjid like we do in the month of Ramadan. Perform all 5 times Salat with Jama'at. Try to fast tomorrow. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who fasts on the day of Arafah, Allah will forgive his minor sins of the past year and minor sins of the coming year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa